1 Timothy, 1st chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwrecked, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you today for the wonderful Word of God. I thank you for your goodness and kindness to us, and thank you for the Sunday school hour and all that you've done. And Father, I pray again for the children's churches, Lord, that you'd bless in a real special way, help those who are helping there and directing them. God bless them and encourage their hearts and help them as they bring forth your word. Now, Father, again, we want to thank you for this opportunity. We ask you, God, to take the word of God and use it as you see fit. We know according to your word it will not come back void. And Lord, we trust in that. And Lord, as we preach, we need your power, your wisdom. And Lord, you just guide us, direct us, and help us. And your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 19 of the verses that I read to you, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, had made shipwreck. When we talk about faith, we're talking about our beliefs. Talking about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and the faith that we have in the Bible, the Word of God. We're talking about our beliefs, our convictions. What do we stand on? What do we truly believe? What directs our life? What makes us do certain things in life? And what causes us not to do other things in life? I've come to believe, and I believe the Word of God teaches us, that it's how much faith and trust we put in the Bible, the Word of God. How much we believe it. I mean, really believe it. I've come to believe and come to see down through the years, and let me say it is getting worse all the time, of people desiring to have a form of religion, to say they believe God, to say they believe the Bible, but really not knowing what they stand on. Not really having an understanding of what the Scripture says about their convictions. So many times I've had people say to me, you know, well, Brother Ross, you know, I just disagree with you on this or that. It doesn't bother me, honestly, it doesn't bother me if someone disagrees with me. But you or anybody else ought to disagree with a person because of the Scripture. Because you believe the Scripture says this. Not just because you've got some thought that comes into your mind and says, well, I don't agree with that, or I don't look at this way. Well, you need to have what you believe founded in the book. Amen? And that's all right. You know, if you're doing that, that's fine. I mean, you put your stand on the Bible, the Word of God. I'm thankful for that, and I'm grateful for it. But you'll find in today's society that most people do not have any Bible-based convictions. They're just things that they've come up with and in their life, and they've just simply said, well, I look at it this way. Well, what do you mean you look at it this way? Where do you get it in the Bible? Where does the Bible say that? I'm just simply saying, I know the Word of God tells me that Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, I know that because the Bible tells me that. I mean, I could go through some difficult and hard times, and I mean really troubled times, and I can honestly say, and some of you do the same thing, and from time to time I'll say to you, you know, I know God's with you. Well, I can say that because the Bible said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's founded on the Scripture, not just on a thought that, well, yeah, God's with you. The reason God's with you, because He said He would be. It's founded on the Bible, the Word of God, and the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where our faith must be founded. And this is one of the things, as we preach this morning, we're going to preach a message which I've called Faith versus Presumption. Now, we're going to look at that word presumption in a minute. That's a big word, but we're going to look at that in just a moment. But there's a big difference between faith and presumption, or just to presume something. We're going to look at our true belief, our faith, our belief must be because the Word of God says so. Because the Bible says so, not just because we've come up with some idea about something. And how many times have we done that? How many times do you hear people now, well, I look at it this way, I believe this. Well, why do you believe that? Show me in the Bible. Say, this is what I base my belief on. Right here, the Scripture teaches it. I'm not talking about pulling the verse out of context. I'm talking about the teachings of the Bible. Here's why I believe a certain thing. This is why I do a certain thing. Why? Because the Bible says so. God says so. That's faith. When you can put your beliefs upon the Bible, God's holy word, that is faith. Other than that is presumptions. To presume something. And we're going to discuss that. I want to go over to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, please. In verse number 1, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance there substantiates, or gives us assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How do you have that assurance? Let's just talk about the wonderful truth about heaven. How do you know there's a heaven? Bible says so. The Bible tells us there's a heaven. I don't have to just presume that there's a heaven out there or hope there's a heaven. The Bible says there's a heaven. I've never seen it. Anyone seen it yet? No, I don't think any of you. But why do you believe in it? Why do you trust? Why do you know that when you die, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why do you know you're going to heaven? Because the Bible says so. You see, it's the assurance. It substantiates our hope, you see. And he goes on and he says the evidence of things not seen, or the proof of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Folks, listen. People obtain a good report by walking in faith and believing the Bible, believing God's Word, faith in what God said, you see. And he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You say, Brother Ross, how do you know the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear? All I have to do is go back to Psalms 33. And that's what the Word of God says. He spake, and it came into existence. All I have to do is go back to the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. I don't have to just say to you, well, I just presume that the things just happen. No, I go back, and the Word of God says this is the way it happened. God spoke it into existence. I know it because the Bible says so. You see, and that's faith. That's faith in what God Almighty says. We know it's true because God says it. Now, when you talk here in the book of Hebrews, and you notice in verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. How did Abel offer this sacrifice? How did he know to offer this sacrifice? Because God told him to offer that sacrifice. Cain brought a different sacrifice, and God was angry at Cain because of that sacrifice that he brought, you see. But Abel, in faith, because he was told to. Look in verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? By doing what God said. You look down in verse number 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please. So we know he was a man of faith. He was a man who believed what God said. And you finish that verse, he says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, he was a man who walked in faith. He obeyed God Almighty. He believed whatever God said. And so he was acceptable unto God, and he pleased God because he was a man of faith. So we find then, of course, and go on to Noah in verse 7, says the Bible says, in faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In other words, Noah, God told Noah he was going to destroy the world. He told him that. And he said, build an ark. The Bible says, by faith, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. What did he do? He didn't just go out there and start building some big ship because he didn't know what else to do. He built that ship because God said to build it. God said, I'm going to destroy this earth. And because of that, Noah believed God and went out and built an ark. What I'm simply saying is our faith has to be grounded upon what the Bible says. Everything that you believe ought to be grounded in this book. You believe it because the Bible says it. And you find this all through the Bible. Let's go over here for a few moments to the book of Mark, the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. In verse number 15, he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now these are some of the things that God said would follow those, and we find it in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It talks about the signs of the apostles. And there is certain signs that the apostles did. The Bible talks about great wonders and works and miracles that the apostles did. The reason I read to you that, God said he would do that for them. Now, go over with me to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. In verse number 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into them with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And there they were filled with the wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. You say, Brother Ross, why did you read all that? Here comes John and Peter. They came to the temple, and here's a man there that's lame. And Peter just said, you look upon us. He said, I don't have any silver and gold. But he said, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What authority did Peter have in saying that? Why could he say that and expect that man to be healed and rise up and walk? Why? Because back in the book of Mark, he left instructions, these signs will follow them I'll give you the ability, the signs of the apostles, I'll give you the ability to lay hands upon them and heal them. That's why. It wasn't because some false faith healer out here trying to go around and touch people and heal them. No. He had authority to do that because the Word of God said they would do that. God said He would do that for them, and that's why He could reach down and take His hand and pick him up, and the man walked, because it was based upon the Word of God, you see. They just simply believed God would do it, you see. And I'm simply saying to you, they believed that because the Bible said He would. And I'm saying again to you that many times our faith is not based upon Scripture. What we call our faith is not based upon Scripture. It's based upon presumptions. Of just simply thinking God will do this or God will do that. The word presumption means this: overstepping of proper bounds. Now listen, a taking of something for granted. Presume means to act or believe something without permission or authority. When you believe something, you have a belief or a conviction, you ought to believe that because the Bible says so. You have authority to believe that. You have permission to believe that because the Bible says so. Amen? What the Word of God says. Many times we'll say, well, you know, I just knew or I just know that everything would turn out all right. Now, folks, be careful with that. I'm just simply saying to you, many times that's nothing but presuming. Did God say in His Word everything would turn out all right? I know God said this. I know God said that all things work together for good to them who love God. But He didn't say all things was good. You say, Brother Ross, what do you mean? He didn't say all things good. He said all things will work together for good to them who love God. You and your life and I and my life certainly have had things happen to us that we would not have to look back on and say, boy, that was good. But I know this, everything that God does allow happen to me, it's because He loves me and He can work it to good. You see, and we really have trouble with these things because we kind of go around saying, you know, yeah, I know, everything's just going to turn out all right. You know, this person's going to be all right, and that person, yeah, it's going to turn out all right because God's going to work it out all right. But that doesn't mean everything's going to turn out the way you want it. See, there's going to be some hard and difficult things, you see. And you hold a belief, you see, you hold a belief, something about your faith, it ought to be and must be founded on God's Word. Keep that in mind. See, what you say must be founded on the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration. Listen, folks, I could preach all day, and I could preach tomorrow and next week and all over and preach constantly on the coming of Jesus Christ. And I could tell you He's coming again. You know how I can do that? Why I can do that? Because the Bible says He is. It says He's coming. But if I get up here and preach to you and say He's coming tomorrow, I've stepped over the line. Because there's no authority in the Word of God for me to say that Jesus is coming tomorrow. That's presumption. Because I don't know if He's coming tomorrow or not. But I'm going to look for Him. But I know this, He's coming. I can preach that, can't we? But we can't preach He's coming tomorrow, He's coming the 10th of the month, or whatever it is. I can't do that because God never gave me authority or permission to preach that. It's not in His Word. We know not the day, we know not the hour when He comes. But we know He's coming. So our faith must be based upon truths from God's Word. That's where these people start setting dates. They get all, you know, and it's a funny thing because many Christians get excited about that. You know, these guys setting dates and say, well, Jesus is coming, you know, and Jesus is coming next week or Jesus is coming next year. Folks, don't just put that aside. Just say Jesus is coming. It might be in the next minute. I said it might be. I don't know when He's coming, but all I know is He is coming. So I'm saying I can back that up. Why? Because the Bible says He is. He said He'd come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be with Him. He's promised that. I know He's coming, but I don't know what day. I'm sorry, I just don't know what day, see? See, you know, that's presumption for someone to choose a day and say that He's coming on a certain day, you see. You know, the Word of God has told me also that He will guide me. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's a promise of God. God has promised to guide me. I know God will guide me. But He never told me I'd have a trouble-free life. That's presumption to say, oh, I'm going to have a great life. God's going to guide me every day. I'm never going to have any trouble. That'd be silly and foolish because God never said that. But God did tell me He would guide me. And so I can stand on that. I can know that. I can by faith believe that God is going to do what he said, because he said he would instruct me and teach me in the way which I should go. Amen? I can do that because the Bible, the Word of God, says that. You know, sometimes people, now I understand this, they have loved ones that's dying, and it's or seem to be dying. They say, well, I just have faith that everything's going to be all right. Listen, folks. Now, the reason I'm saying this, I want you to listen to me. I know what God can do. But, you know, our son Bobby was in the hospital, and there was a time he was pretty bad. I could not go and say to Kim or to the family, you know, I know for sure that God is going to raise him up. But I can do this. I can tell you God's never has already promised to never leave him nor forsake us. And that God has instructed us to call the elders and anoint with oil and to pray. And to pray for his healing, God's told me to do that. So I can do that in faith, believing God then will do what's right and proper. What I'm simply saying, folks, is a lot of times it's just presumption what we say. We go to a person, we try to encourage him, we say, well, everything's going to be all right. You know, folks, you got to be careful of that, because you don't know what God's plan is. I don't know what God's plan is. Amen? You know, I know what we want. I know what we want to ask God. Nothing wrong with that. Ask him and believe him. But I'm telling you, sometimes that God don't go according to our plan. Amen? So, in other words, when you say something, back it up with the Bible. Let it be a scriptural thing that you say and believe. Your faith is based on the Bible, you see. I know this. God's told me I could ask and seek and knock. He's told me I could do that. Amen? And I could do that. I can go to him and I can ask of him. And I can pray, and he's told me that, you see. And so I can do that because the Word of God says I can. But let me say something to you. Nowhere in the Bible can you say he promises every sick person is going to get well. If that's true, there'd been no one ever died. You understand what? His plan intercedes there. Sometimes it's just time. God says it's time to take this person home. Now, we might pray and we might ask God, and it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. But we can't say, I know God's not going to take this person today or tomorrow. I know that. You don't find that in the Bible. So back your beliefs up with the Bible. But at the same time, pray and trust God. Put it in the hands of God and ask him to do for you what you want him to do. Ask him for it. Yes, ask him for it. But don't let it be just presumption. What I'm trying to get over to you, folks, is this. There's a big difference between true faith and presumption. We got to be very careful about that, you see. You know, I had a person tell me one day, said, well, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I know God's going to give me a bunch of money. I had him tell me this. I never forget that. He said, God's going to give me a bunch of money. I don't have to worry about it. They was in financial trouble, and God's going to give me... Where do you find that in the Bible? What I find in the Bible is that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, all my needs. He didn't say all my wants. All my needs. And I can tell you by experience, I can tell you by truth, that God, for the last 58 years, has provided for this preacher and his wife and family, and has provided the needs of our life. He said he would. The needs of our life he has provided for. Amen? Now, I can't go around saying, I know this, but God's going to give me a whole bunch of money next week. I mean, God's going to really pour it in. You don't know any such thing. That's presumption. That's not faith, because it's not bound, it's not standard on the Word of God. Well, again, I'm trying to get you to do is put everything you believe on the Bible. Let it stand on faith, on the Word of God, what God says that he will do, you see. Now, I want to go over with me to the book of Deuteronomy. First chapter. Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verse number 20. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again, by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Now notice, God said, go up and possess the land. That's what he said, amen? They said, we'll send men over to check it out. And the saying pleased me. He said, please me well. He said, that's fine. Go ahead and send men. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. They took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, we would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hateth us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Ammonites to destroy us. Now you get the picture. You've been around Bible teaching. You know what happened here. Israel went over. They sent men over, 12 men, searched out the land. 10 of them came back and said, we can't take it. Now you got to remember, what had God just told them to do? God had said, go in and possess it. Doesn't make a difference how many giants are there. If you read the scriptures, you find out they was griping about the giants was there and all the great powers that was there, and there'd be no way that they could go in and take it. But God had said, you possess the land. Amen? They said, we can't do it. Now, look at verse 34. He says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. Now he says, since you wouldn't do it, there's not any of you going to see, not men at that age. You're going to see it above 20. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see that land. And then he said, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land, and he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. Did you notice what they did? They said, well, we have sinned. Now we're going to go up. We're going to do what God said to do in the first place. But you got to remember, God had already now come back and said, no, no, no. You're not going to go up. You're not going to take the land. Okay, but now they decided they was going to. And he says, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. The whole story is a lengthy story, but the whole thing is this. God said, go up and take the land. I give it to you. It's yours. They said, no, we can't do it. We're not going to do it. God said, all right, then you're not going to go up. You're not going to take the land at this time. You're going to be in the wilderness. And they said, oh, no, no, we've sinned against God, so we're going to go up. He said they went up presumptuously. In other words, arrogantly. They went up without permission of God to do it. And they was defeated. What I'm saying is many times when we walk in supposedly faith, we do it presumptuously. We're not doing what God says to do. We're doing what we want to do. And that's where we got to be very careful. If you want to walk a life of faith, you've got to believe what the Bible says and stand upon the truths of the Bible. Back your whole life up with the Bible and what God says to do. Not presumptuously, you see. Now, look over in chapter 18, or excuse me, 17 of Deuteronomy. Verse number 11. According to the sentence of the law which they shall teach, and according to the judgments which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the day thy the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. You see, again, God says, what do? You follow my word. If you don't follow my word, you're walking presumptuously. You're walking without permission. You're walking without authority. Faith must be grounded upon the word of God. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 18. And he said, but the prophets which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, and the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. We've got a lot of presumptuous prophets out there. But he said, came out in the paper, America is going to be defeated in Iraq. God had told him so. What happened? America sure wasn't defeated in Iraq, was it? What did he do? He spoke presumptuously. God never gave him authority to say that. You see, that's why I'm saying we've got to be awful careful. I know this is going to happen, and I know that's going to happen. Well, did God give you authority to say it? Is it in the Bible, the Word of God? See, there's just a lot of things we do not know what's going to happen, folks, in the future. But the things that we do know are founded right here in the Bible. And we can preach on them. We know about them. We know they are true. You see, why? Because God said so. So you don't want to worry too much about these prophets out here prophesying things that they know nothing about. And many of these things absolutely do not take place because they not come from God. So I'm saying to us, in our individual life, what do we have to do? We have to be very careful. Maybe we don't go out prophesying a war in Iraq, but sometimes we go prophesying to each other about this is going to be all right, and that's going to be all right, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. We don't know. We've got to found our things that we believe on the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, encourage one another. Yes, tell them God is with them. Yes, tell them you're going to pray for them. We're putting it into the hands of a great God who can change everything and do anything that needs to be done. Yes, pray and ask the God who can heal their bodies. Yes, we pray. But we don't know what God's going to do for sure. We just don't know. And I'm just simply saying to you, we need to realize we need to get back to faith. I want you to go over to the book of Psalms, the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms. Show you what David said in verse number, I'll just read in verse number 13. He asked God to do something. He said in verse 13, he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. David called presumptuous sins the great transaction. Terrible thing. He said it was a terrible transgression. It was a horrible thing, he said. You know why? Because you walk presumptuously and not in faith, not upon the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I've said all that to say this. We need to operate from faith, not presumptions. And one of the scariest things there is this. The Bible says we are saved by faith, not of works. And all through this land, even in this area here, if you will just listen very carefully to some people's testimonies, when you witness to them or ask them about their faith in Christ or whether they're a Christian or not, I've heard so many of them say to me, oh, don't you worry about me. Everything's going to be all right. I know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. How do you know? Don't worry about it. I just know it's going to be all right. That's presumption. And that's not faith. You see, the reason we know we're going to heaven is because the Bible taught us, the Bible teaches us, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. He was buried and he rose again, now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. I know today I can go to heaven because my faith and trust is in him. And God said he would take me to heaven. I would be his. He'd come after me if I'd be born again.
not because I think everything's just going to be all right. You see, it has to be based upon the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're saved because you got dunked in a baptistry. Does it say that? Find it for me, please. It's not in there. You get saved, you're going to heaven because you're born again. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. Brother Ross, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. See, you're not going to heaven because you've tried to treat your neighbor good. That's presumption. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that I'm going to heaven because I've treated my neighbor good. I'm a good person. Everybody likes me. That's unscriptural. You got to base your faith upon the Bible, the Word of God, that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again, and you put your faith and trust in what He did. That's faith. That's not presumption. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5th chapter, the 4th verse, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's not presumption that overcomes the world. It is faith that overcomes the world. Let me explain something about faith, maybe to help. I'll never forget Dr. Foster at IBC College, Indianapolis, Indiana, old LifeGate Church. Remember him making this statement. The object of your faith demands that it be able to do what your faith demands. You must, he says, the object that you put your faith in must be able to do what your faith demands be done. I've seen him shake his head, finger up there and say that to us over and over and over. He gave the illustration one time about a pond that had ice on it. And he said that pond, he said, was about, the ice was about that thick. And here you are, grown man, going out there, walking on that ice and saying, you know, I want that ice to hold me up. He said, you get out there a little ways and you fall right through. He said, do you know why you fell through? Because the object of your faith, which was that thick of an ice, was not able to do what your faith demanded it do. It couldn't hold you up. Said a few weeks later, it's been cold and that ice is about that thick. You walk out there on that ice, and he says, you just walk all you want. You stand right there on it, and you jump up and down on it, and it holds you. You know why? Because the object of your faith does what your faith demands. It holds you up. It's thick enough to hold you. What I'm saying is this. The object of your faith, where your faith is at, must absolutely be able to do what your faith demands. If you're going to go to heaven, if you will get your sins forgiven, it's not through a baptistry. It's not through good works. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. And none other. You know why? Because He can do what my faith demands. My faith demands my sins be forgiven, be cleansed, be washed, be made righteous, where I can go to heaven and be in the presence of God. And only Jesus Christ can do that. None other can. Buddha can't do it. Mohammed can't do it. Moon can't do it. Nobody else can. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where our faith must be in. Not just presume everything's going to be all right. No, our faith must be in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nothing else added. Amen. A lot of things to do after you come to faith in Jesus Christ. But to get you to heaven is only going to happen when you are born again. You come to Jesus Christ by faith, believing in Him, putting your faith and trust in Him. Then you're ready for heaven. There's a lot of people out here who are living presumptuous lives. They're presuming that they're going to go to heaven, and they've never been born again. Their faith is not grounded upon the Bible, the Word of God. Folks, it's not just going to be all right. Things are not just going to turn out if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you have, then let me guarantee you, yes, everything will turn out all right. Amen? So I'm saying to you, don't live a life of presumption. Live a life of faith. And that life of faith must be grounded on this Bible, this Word of God. Everything you believe should be grounded on this. What is your convictions? Well, they ought to be grounded on this Bible. Amen. Why do you live like you do, according to this? Don't, it ain't good enough, folks, just say, well, I just don't agree with you, or I don't agree with some other preacher, or I don't agree. You tell me why you don't agree. Where are you standing at on the Bible? Your beliefs should be backed up with the Bible. If I told you I believe something, you'd want this preacher to say, boy, I want you to show me in the Bible where that says that. I want to know why you believe that. You know, it's just as right for me to look to you and say, I want to know why you believe that. Amen. Not just the preacher. You, if you believe something, why do you believe it? Amen. Not presumptions. Faith. Amen. So I say to you this morning, you're here and you say, Brother Ross, I don't know if I'm saved. Let me share something with you. If your full faith and trust is not in Jesus Christ, and you've not been born again, you're not saved. I can say that because the Bible says that. Jesus says you'll die in your sins. Believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Amen. I can say that because that's what the Bible says. Amen. But I can also tell you this. You say, my faith, my trust is in Jesus Christ. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I put my faith and trust in Him. That's where my faith and trust is. It's in Him and only in Him. I can say, praise God. We'll see you in heaven one of these days. Amen. Because your faith is in the right place. Amen. So I'm saying to you, are you there? Where is your faith? Is your life built upon a life of faith? According to the Bible, not your thoughts, not your presumptions, but the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you so much for your word and your kindness and goodness to us. Once again, I thank you, Father, for the salvation you've given us. Lord, we don't have to worry about that because you told us you'd give us eternal life. Through putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you would give us eternal life, and that eternal life is forever. It's not for a week, a month, or a year. It's forever. And I thank you for that. Why? Because the Bible says so. And once again, I pray, Lord, if there's folk out here that's not sure of their salvation, oh God, let this be the day when they put true faith in Jesus Christ, receive Him as personal Savior, born again. And Father, if we as Christians are living a life of presumptions, we need to get back, Father, to a life of faith. That's what pleases you. Faith in what you said. You see, faith in the Bible, faith in knowing what Jesus did, and all the things you instruct us to do, Lord, that's where our faith must be. So I pray if we as Christians are living a life of presumption, oh God, we get away from that. We go back to living a life of faith. Thank you now. Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.